Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. The last few programs, the theme of the shepherd of the sheep has certainly been part of the daily readings. And today is no different. We continue that theme. So let's take a look at the first reading. The fact that you're getting this several days in a row, I'm hoping that you will take that to heart. And I'm hoping that you will say, Lord, I want you to shepherd me. I'm tired of being out there alone. I'm tired of having to try and figure everything out by myself. I want to be a sheep in your fold. It's hard sometimes because I want to lead. I want to be in charge. I want to do things my way. All of that comes at us. But if we commit ourselves to say, Lord, you teach me. Every day I will come before you. You teach me. You show me how to live more closely in union with you for today. God will not fail you. He will show you. So the prophet Micah in chapter 7, verses 14 to 15 and then 18 to 20 says this, shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, that dwells apart in a woodland in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old, as in the days when you came from the land of Egypt. Show us wonderful signs. Who is there like you, the God who removes guilt and pardons sin for the remnant of his inheritance, who does not persist in anger forever, but delights rather in clemency? He delights in exercising his mercy in your life. He doesn't do it grudgingly. He loves to do it. If you ask for it, open your heart to receive it. He will again have compassion on us, treading underfoot our guilt. He will destroy our guilt. If we come to him and ask him to guide us, and we promise him that we'll follow him one day at a time, promise them. You will cast into the depths of the sea all our sins. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and grace to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. If we follow you, you will be faithful to us. And he will. He will. Psalm 85, Lord, show us your mercy and love. You have favored, O Lord, your land. You have brought back the captives of Jacob. You have forgiven the guilt of your people. You have covered all their sins. You have withdrawn all your wrath. You have revoked your burning anger. Restore us, O God, our Savior. Abandon your displeasure against us. Will you be angry with us forever, prolonging your anger to all generations? Will you not instead give us life? And shall not your people rejoice in you? Show us, O Lord, your kindness and grant us your salvation. Let the intent of that psalm, that prayer, be yours. Thank him for what he's given you and ask him to help you, to strengthen you, to choose for Christ, to choose for his plan for your life. And the gospel is the gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 46 to 50. While Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers appeared outside, wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak with you." But he said in reply to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother." Brothers and sisters, the Lord is telling us, he's telling us that we're his family, and that if we do the will of his Father, then he's our brother, He's our sister. He's our mother. Just think of that. Really. Jesus wants to draw us into intimacy with him. Intimacy using family life as a model. He wants us to have the relationship of genuinely the best friendship way beyond anything you could imagine. In all forms and shapes, the Lord wants to draw us to himself. He wants to make us one with him, part of the family of God. And that's not just a pious image, it's the reality. And sometimes, really, as you can hear, I don't have the words to say that God, who is utterly perfect, for whom our sin, not us, but for our sin, it's so repugnant to him. And yet he perseveres with us to bring us to a place where we really choose to be part of his family, the family of God. Doesn't mean we'll be perfect, but we'll be in a place where even in this life we contribute to eternal life because we are reaching out to other people to show them the way. Once we learn what the way is, we need to turn and help others to see it. Don't berate them. Don't say, I want to talk to you. You sit down here. You listen to every word I have to say. Don't do anything like that. Just live your life in such a way that after a while people say, wow, you've seemed really happy and really peaceful in ways that I haven't seen before. What happened? Then tell them simply, I took God's word seriously. I took his invitation seriously to follow him. And I'm learning how to do that. And that joy and that peace no one can take from me. That's the greatest evangelism you could ever do. So brothers and sisters, let's enter more fully into the family of God. I'm going to urge you to do this. Choose one area of your life where you're living or thinking or acting in a way that is not in accord with the gospel. Are you willing to give up that one thing? Are you willing to give up one thing that you're attached to for an eternal kingdom of justice and peace and joy? You need to make choices. You can't just float along and say, well, I'm not as bad as that one, or I'm not as bad as this one. Don't do that. Don't compare yourself like that. Look at the disciples. Look at how much they had to learn. Look how often they had to repent. But they did it. And if they can do it, we can do it by the grace of God. Make a choice today. Something that you're engaged in, something that you're following that's more worldly, and you know you have some sense that you really are guilty here. Then just admit it and decide what you're going to do about it. Reject it. And you will know, as I said before, you will know a peace and joy that no one will take from you. Father Zendel, who often publishes in the Magnificat magazine, says this about the will of God. Christian life can only be a vast generosity toward a God who is as fragile as he is precious, and who can appear only if we allow him to show through us. That's how he reveals himself in many ways in this life, is through others. Is God able to reveal himself through you? It's just another way of phrasing the points I've made earlier. He says, this generosity expected of us gives to the whole Christian life its most admirable character, since it turns us away from making of Christianity a religion of our personal salvation. This is just for me. It's up to me. It is not. It is no longer a question of ourselves. It is a question of God, who surrendered himself to us, whose life is given over into our hands, and who touches us with his light and his grace so that we may be his torchbearers, so that we may communicate this incomparable friendship to all our human brothers and sisters, so that we may stir in their hearts the echo of his tenderness, and that through us, they may perceive his face. Do you know that's true? That's how God wants to work. Do we give him that right? He could take it, but he won't. Because as I have so often said to you, we have a free will. He offers himself to us. Let me read a portion of that again. It is no longer a question of ourselves. It is a question of God surrendered to us, whose life is given over into our hands and who touches us with his light and his grace so that we may be his torchbearers, so that we may communicate this incomparable friendship to all our human brothers and sisters, so that we may stir in their heart the echo of his tenderness, and that through us they may perceive his face. Brothers and sisters, as I've shared with you many times, I've had beautiful opportunities to talk with Pope John Paul and Mother Teresa, short opportunities, but very much there. But our call is not, oh, I want to be famous like they are. It's if I'm willing to decrease so that Christ may increase. Then when people meet us, they find him. It can make saints out of us. Mother Teresa, Pope John Paul, saints present in our world among many others, but saints present in our world, well known. But the only way that happened in their lives was that they put God first, that they chose to decrease so that he might increase. By say decrease, our selfishness, our ego, our sinfulness, our pride, our arrogance, our jealousy, that we decide that those things in us need to decrease, that he may increase. That's how it works. And that's what God wants to do for you and in you. And then, what Father Zundel says here is so true, so that we may stir in their hearts the echo of his tenderness, and that through us, they may perceive his face. This is an incredible adventure, this life that God has given us. The 70 or 80 years of this life for many of us, it's an incredible life. But we want to live it in such a way that those who see us find him. That we decrease in the sense of our ego and our pride and our arrogance and our selfishness. We decrease that he may increase. And then they will find him through us. May God give you that grace. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.